Father, Lord, we recognize that there are always things, trials, troubles, temptations, and the like. And oftentimes, Lord, we are caught unaware. Storms come unannounced. Seasons change. Suffering can linger. But what we have come to know and do declare is that you are faithful. And so, God, again, we have pressed our way through these and so many like them. But they are right. Their ministry is effective to us. That all of our help comes from the Lord. You are faithful. And Lord, we thank you today for your faithfulness. Would you now again, as you so often do, open our eyes and our ears and massage our hearts that they would be ready to receive the word as it falls from your lips. Oh God, would you create in us a clean heart and renew in us the right spirit that we would receive what you are giving to us. Deliver us from evil. Set us in a good place. Let nothing disturb us. That we would focus intently upon that which you are saying to the church. And God, we'd be remorseful if we did not ask a special blessing, a special prayer for Reverend Muriel, that you would just meet her in the place of her need. Get her safely to a place where she can regain her strength. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Ernestine, thinking it not robbery to be a part of that ministry, that she might be found safe. And we thank you, Lord, for all of these that are pressing through their own personal issues and just yet holding on. For we know that our deliverance is nigh. God, we're closer than we've ever been, and we've gone much farther than we think. So we bless your name. Touch everybody just where they need a touch. And Lord, help me to help them. Help us. Forgive us of our sins, we do pray. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless God with a blessing. Call praise. Come on, bless the name of the Lord. This is not for the choir. This is not for the pastor. We are blessing the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. Before I go too much further, thank you for your well wishes on my 55th birthday. The Lord has been kind. Amen. Thank you. I feel wonderful, and I thank God that he has made it so. Grab your Bibles, fire up your electronic devices, and pull down your apps. Let's go to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. Amen. God bless you. Thank you again for all your kindness. Thank you, ministers of music and choir and ushers. And again, thank you for those of you who are caring for somebody else and not being selfish. Thank you. Psalm 142. Again, I have the New Living Translation Bible and whatever app version you pull down, we can work that together. Amen. Verse 1 says, I cried out to the Lord. I pleaded for the Lord's mercy. I poured out my complaints before him. I tell him all my troubles. For I'm overwhelmed, and you alone know the way that I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to you, O Lord. I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, ushers. God bless you. David is one of, again, my favorite characters in the Word of God. He has such a real life. There are some people that we will meet. There are people that we will read about. There are people that we will see on television and even in the movies whose lives are nothing like ours. I heard Brother Davis mention today the late Howard Hughes and all of his vastness and all of his monies, but it wouldn't keep him alive. And even when he died, those who stood to inherit from him had to fight to get whatever they thought Howard would leave them. There are people who we meet, or whom, because Mrs. Scott is here, whom we meet, who have been described to us either of their own declaration or by others' definition, that are seemingly larger than life. It seems that nothing bad ever happens to them. There are people who seem to be Teflon as it comes to the issues of life. There is an old biblical word, there is an old word in the Testament of our Bible that calls it vicissitudes. There are things that just happen. My grandmother used to say that you don't really have to do anything for things to happen. You just have to live. And so it is, David has been living in a cave. David is in the midst of one of his many trials, tribulations, torments, if you will. And a king ought not live in a cave. A man of David's purpose, pedigree, and of his power should not have ever been found living in a cave. But I believe that David proves something to all of us. And that is that it doesn't matter who you are, that when things happen, it can knock you to your knees. David proves to us that sometimes, even though you deserve to live in a palace, your circumstances dictate that you live in a cave. And so it is, beloved of God, that David, who is somewhat often exposed to us, because of the exposure that comes to him. Can I tell you what I want to tell you? Sometimes what's happening to you will make you. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes what's happening to you is what makes you. He does not deserve to live there. He does not deserve to be in that situation. And I think most of us can testify this hour that a lot of what has happened to us, in the famous words of Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven, deserve ain't got nothing to do with it. In fact, most of us can testify that we don't get what we deserve. But we get far more grace and mercy than we deserve. If justice had its way, all of us in this room would be living under different circumstances. If fairness was truly the order of the day, some of us would not drive what we drive nor live where we live. We wouldn't be in the health that we're in because many of us have been our own worst enemy. And so it is that David exposes for us certain realities that we would rather not have to deal with. The truth of the matter is, as Grandma used to say, if I had my druthers, I'd druther not. And so it is that we find ourselves reading in Psalm 142. And Melvin, the central point of the preaching is right there in verse 4. Where David said, I looked for somebody to come and help me, but nobody cared for me. David said, nobody will help me because nobody cares what happens to me. In the King James Version, of which many of us have become familiar over the years, he simply says that there was no man who cared for my soul. It is a place that no one wants to be. It is a time that no one wants to live. Because you and I think that if we make certain relationships along the journey, that when trouble comes, somebody gonna help me. When trouble comes, that our friends will rise and rally and rescue us. But I bet you if I ask this question, I can get an answer from some of you right now who will quickly raise your hand, that all of us at one time or another have been right where David is. That it seemed like the very people we thought would be the first responders in our lives didn't even pick up the telephone to give us a call. They didn't even come by with not even a pot of soup, but a cup of soup. David said, I looked for somebody, anybody, but nobody came. Nobody cared. Nobody thought about me. I wasn't even a passing thought to my so-called friends. He said, I'm hurt now. Because it feels like folk just rather I was dead and gone. No one cared. Now notice the language, Sister Walker. He says, not a few people. He said, not the majority of people, but nobody cared what happened to me. I wasn't even a passing thought. He said, no, nobody came to help me. Nobody cared for me. Nobody don't care what happened to me. It seems as if they would rather I did not exist. But David, I've got some good news. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor's got some good news. And the good news is the Lord won't let you down. Amen. I want to tell you right now that the Lord won't let you down. People are funny. People change. And sometimes you've got nothing to do with the cause or the course of their change. Some of us have friends in our lives that we don't have to talk to them for weeks, months, even years. But all it takes is one phone call and we spot on. There are people that we may not see. There are people that we may lose contact with them, but once the reunion has been ratified, all is well. There are people who hang out with us all the time. They eat our food, drive our cars, spend our money. Some of them even live in our house. But when the chips are down, when trials, tribulations, or circumstances, or even our reputations change, they flip on us. There is no hurt like inside hurt. There is no pain like inside pain. There is no betrayal like the betrayal of a confidant. You know how they are, folk who when you were in the mix and in the madness, they share this vow of confidence that no matter what happens, me and you gonna always be aces. Can't nothing come between us. We like frickin' Frank. We go way back in a Cadillac, you know, that kind of thing. There are certain alliances that we even among our siblings. Even among relations, there are certain alliances that we made with people for the sake of having somebody who was a somebody to always be that somebody. There are those who have said to us, I don't care who turned on you. I don't care who let you down. I don't care how many folk walk out of your life. You gonna always have me. I'm going to stick closer than a brother. I don't care if your mama turned or your daddy turned. Me and you going to always be all right. And there is no pain like inside pain. There is no hurt like inside hurt. David says nobody cares. But David, I told you I got some good news. No matter who turns on you, no matter who walks out, no matter who lies, no matter how many knives you find in your back, no matter how many times they put you down, I'm here to tell you that the Lord won't let you down. You can call upon the Lord and the Lord will. And I'll leave you to fill in your own blank right there. I'll just tell you that the Lord will. I'll give you another blank to fill in. The Lord is. I'll tell you now that whatever you need, you're going to find it in the Lord. David, I reckon that most of us who have been around with me for a little while know that I love to give the ministry of music a shout out. And my friend Suggest not here today, but I'm going to get somebody can help me along through here. But there's always a song in the sermon. Nudge your neighbor and say, yeah, he put one in there. Always a song in the sermon. But can I get one? Mrs. Davis will approve of this. This is Mother Amanda Davis approved. She will approve of this throwback version right here. There is a book called The National Hymnal. And on number 248. Some of y'all who've been in the church know it. They ain't got to look it up. The title of the song is Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. It is, see Miss Davis waving. She liked this one. It is selection 248. And in selection 248, it starts with this line. Time is filled with swift transition. Y'all know the line. In other words, what that means, Midge, is things change rather quickly. The next line says, not of earth unmoved can stand. What that simply means is, in the life of humanity, you will find something that will shake you to your core. And it doesn't matter how big you are, how bad you are, it doesn't matter how much you work out, you're going to be shook by life. He said, not of earth unmoved can stand. In other words, everybody going to have a moment every now and then. And then he said, listen, he said, this is the part I like. Brother McKenzie, he said, but here is the change order. He said, build your hopes
on things eternal, watch this now, hold to God's unchanging hand. Nudge your neighbor and say, he won't let me down. He won't let me down. He won't let me down. And then he said, watch this, Midge. Verse 2 says, trust in him who will not leave you. Y'all ain't talking back to me. Whatsoever the years may bring. But here it is. Here's why you can't count on everybody. He said, if your earthly friends forsake. Look at the name and say, are you going to leave me too? Look back at him and say, it all depends. What's happening? I mean, if the police coming, I'm leaving. Notice now, Luther, he said, if by earthly friends forsaken. What he does not say, Eric, that is implied in the text, is that God won't let you down. He said, people are funny like that. If by earthly friends forsaken. Watch what he says, still more closely. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you might be in a situation, but snuggle up to Jesus. Yeah. Still more. He said, listen, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter if they got your fingerprints, DNA, and DVD. He said, still more closely to him cling. He said, you can count on this, that the Lord won't let you down. The psalm writer said that weeping may endure for the night, but there's this thing called joy. I put a note here, say, don't get caught up on that yet, because there's this thing called joy. That even when you're in the midst of your madness, if I can just find some joy. I've lost my best friend, but if I can find some joy. I got to go to the funeral parlor to bury my child, but if I can find some joy. I got a court case pending, and I know I'm guilty, but if I can find some joy. I think I'll be all right. Nudge your neighbor and say, joy will make it all right. Some of us have become enamored thinking money will make it all right or popularity will make it all right. Sometimes even health won't make it all right. But if I can find some joy, if I can just get my joy back, if I can just get the feeling that I once had with the Lord, if I can just feel his presence around me, if I can just hear his voice in my ear among all the trial and tribulation and hustle and bustle, there has to be a word from the Lord. And the word of the Lord is my joy. He says, it's going to be all right. The reality for us is that we are fragile. We try to act like we're tough. Try to sit around, swell up like a bullfrog, and fold our arms up like Eric just did. Like we got this. But no. He said that time is filled with swift transition. David went from being king in a palace to king in a cave in short order. No, nobody sent him a coming attraction notice. Nobody. Listen, can I get somebody to wave back at me and testify that whenever hell came calling, it didn't call in advance. It didn't tell us what was going to happen. It didn't tell us that our child was going to act up like that. It didn't tell us that our marriage was going to fall apart. It didn't tell us that the business was going to collapse. It didn't tell us that they were going to lie on us. It didn't tell us that the best friend I had became my worst enemy over something silly as a card game. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but they sure didn't tell me it was going to be like this. He said it changes rather quickly. The Bible tells us that generations come and go, but the Lord changes not. That's why, beloved of God, I'm trying to help you to understand that whatever's happening to you, you ain't the first one. You ain't going to be the last one either, because people do stuff. Sitting with a friend of ours, won't call our friend's name, but I was with him just a few days ago, and we were talking along this line, how quickly things change. We go from, as we like to say, not having a care in the world, to feeling like the whole thing has fallen on me. And in reality, we want to lift our voice up to God and say, why? Lord, what is this? What did I ever do to deserve that? Can I tell you again that we don't get what we deserve? Deserve ain't got a lot to do with a lot of stuff that happens to us. Things just happen. But God won't let you down. I'm just about finished, Darren. He says, please understand that I am the Lord. I change not. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm not going to let you down because I know how you're built. God knows that we'll be. Listen, he didn't give us tear ducts if he didn't expect us to cry. He didn't give us adrenaline glands if he didn't expect we need a little boost every now and then. He didn't give us the necessity of shaking and shimmering if he didn't think you'd do so. He said, I'm not going to change. Can I tell you what's really wonderful, Deacon Davis? The fact that he knows me and still loves me. Amen. Look at your name, tell him, you don't know me like that. But he knows me and still loves me. God knows the trickery. God knows the deception. God knows every lie. God knows every scheme. But thank you, Lord, you won't let me down. When I needed a friend, he was my friend. When I needed help, he was my help. When I needed a pick-me-up, he picked me up. When I needed a change, he changed me. But the Lord won't let me down. We're frail like that. Sometimes the fact that we are created in dust just makes us dirty. Y'all will figure that out. But he knows us. And here's what he says, Mother Davis, you're like this too, because the Bible gives us these illustrations of how fragile we really are. One illustration said that we're just like a flood. We're here and then we're gone. Another illustration says that we're kind of like the morning. We come, and then it's evening. In fact, the writer declares that man born of a woman ain't got but a few years. Nudge your neighbor right quick and say, don't waste my time. I ain't got much of it. Don't waste my time. I ain't got but a few years. And he reminds us, he said, listen, it is only by faith that we can really find good life. I'm almost finished, Darren. It's only when you got great faith that you can have a great life. The Lord reminds us, he said, listen, there are going to be trials. There are going to be, in fact, Brother Tyler, he said, in this life, you will, tell your neighbor, say, you ain't going to like this part right here, but the Lord said it. In this life, you will have some troubles. There's a writer that made a song, said, I've had my share of life's ups and downs. That's Gladys Knight. She's the deaconess. He said, listen, you do know that trouble don't change me. I change trouble. I heard the Lord say, listen, he said, don't worry about what happened because I've already overcome. And then he said, here's my motivation to you, that to him that overcometh, I got something for you. Nudge your neighbor and say, he got something for me. I know that's right. Because he reminds us that in this life, folk gonna rise up on you. Folk gonna lie on you. You're gonna have sickness. You're gonna have heartache. You're gonna have disappointments. You're gonna have all manner of things. But there is nothing in this life that would give me cause to let you down. I am a strong deliverer. The Lord is my hope. In fact, the Lord has three varies that I'll give them to you, and then I'll get ready to get on out of my way. One, first very, can I give you very number one? Look at your name and say, very number one. very number one, Eric, is he's very present. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very present. That the Lord said, I'll never leave you and I won't forsake you. The writer says he's a very present help. In the time, watch when God always shows up big. God always shows up big when you got big trouble. Oh, come on now. The Bible illustrates for us that when they were surrounded, God showed up big. When they were hungry, God showed up big. When they were in a battle, God showed up big. Whenever they were in a situation, whatever the situation, God showed up bigger than their situation. Look at your name and say, no matter how big, he's bigger. He said, listen, watch what he told Isaiah. He said, Isaiah, go tell him how big I am. Isaiah said, the Lord said that I will lead the blind down a path they've never traveled before. That's a good God right there. When you blind and he'll lead you down an unfamiliar path and they won't stammer nor stumble, God will make us sure-footed even in strange places. Look at Nip, I've never been this way, but it feels good to go this way. He said, I'm a very present. Second very, tell you never, very number two, is that he's very protective. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He has reminded me of his protection. By yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, he said, I'm not scared. He's very protective of us. In fact, the Bible said he will protect his faithful ones. Nudge one more neighbor and say, neighbor, if you want protection, you got to be faithful. He's very protective. In fact, you remember when Jesus comes out of the moment of fasting and praying, the devil tried to trick him and says, listen, if you stand up here and jump, you won't hurt yourself. The Lord said, no, my God is protective. The devil said, yeah, he said, even if you jump, you won't dash your foot, you won't get hurt. And Jesus said, yeah, that's true, but I don't have to prove that to you. He's very protective. He's not going to let anything happen to you. That's why he does things. And the choir helped us out a little bit. He said, he's a fence all around us. He's a hedge of protection. He's a bulwark. He said, listen, I'm so protective that you can hold your peace and watch me fight your battle. I don't know about you, but I sure would like to watch somebody fight for me. I know that my God is a protecting God. And then, very number three, he's very providential. How do you mean, Pastor? He said he will supply all of my need. He's very providential. He said, you don't have to worry about anything because I've got it. He said, I am seed to the sower. I'm food to the hungry. I'm water to the thirsty. He's very providential. Can I get a witness or two that will just wave back at me that you have experienced the providence of God? Maybe you went to your mailbox and found a little piece of change. Maybe it was in the sofa cushion when you needed to really get a little something. Maybe it's in the fact that somebody who'd been owing you for a long time finally paid you. It was very providential. Have you ever gone to the well like that woman and found water that you didn't think you were going to find? God is a providential God. In fact, I heard him say, all you got to do is ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Look at her name and say, I told you he won't let you down. Because God is a providential God. God is a protective God. And God is a present God. And so it is, beloved of God, that we begin now to celebrate the fact that God won't let us down. How do you know he won't let us down? Well, Darren, I'm glad you asked. Because the first thing I discovered about God and knowing he won't let me down is that he meets me every morning. Look at your name and say, I know that's right. He meets me every morning. The Bible declares that God is a morning kind of God. He said, in the morning, new mercies do I seek. I know that God will meet me in the morning. And there are two things that God always brings, Eric, when he meets me in the morning. Can I tell you what the two things are? First of all, Melvin, he always brings me new mercy. Yeah, look at your neighbor and say, I can use some of that. Because last night was a real humdinger. I'm telling you now, if you knew where I came from before I came to church, if you knew what I'd been doing before I got to morning worship, if you knew who I was hanging out with before I got over here, you would know why I'm glad he met me this morning with new mercies. Tell your neighbor, I sure could use some new mercies. He meets me with new mercies and new music. That's going to help you stay right long through there. Why do you know he meets us with mercies? Well, Jeremiah said that great is the Lord and his faithfulness, and new mercies are fresh each morning. That's why, beloved of God, you ought not to give up in your midnight, because your mercy is in the morning. You ought not give up in your darkness, because your mercy is in the morning. And because I know God like I know God, the Lord is my inheritance and my mercy. And because he meets me with new mercy, new mercies will I enjoy. Look at your name and say, let that business go. You walking around here feeling shame about something that happened 10, 15 years ago, you better let that madness go, because mercy is mercy. And all of us need mercy. Mercy means God forgot about it. Mercy means God not gonna hold it against us. Mercy means you can get on with your life. Slap your name in the back and tell them, get on with your life. Sitting around here whining about some old business. Old things have passed away, and mercy says all things are. But then he gives me new music. The psalm writer said, listen, he will satisfy us each morning with his unfailing love. And he says, so that we may sing for joy in the life that we're living in Christ Jesus. In other words, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You ought to get up every morning singing unto God. You ought to get up every morning lifting up your voice. You ought to get up every morning declaring the righteousness of God. This little song I have, you may not know the words to it. That's why it's my song. But I'm going to sing unto the Lord a new song. Why? Because he has done marvelous things. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, my God is bad like that. He does marvelous things. And he made sure that I made it to the morning. He kept the watches over me. He kept the death angel from me so that I can rise up in the morning and sing like Mr. Rogers. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day in the neighbor. Would you be mine? Won't you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Why should I be your neighbor? Because the Lord is my rock and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Because the Lord has provided for me. And when God let my cup run over, I'm going to share it with my neighbor. You ought to want to be my friend. Because the Lord is my rock. Because the Lord is my help. Because the Lord is my salvation, and because he loves me, I can love you too. Look at another name and say, neighbor, that's worth singing about. He met me with mercy and music. But then not only, Darren, does he meet me in the morning. I like this part right here. He awakens me every day. Now you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, Pastor. If you get met in the morning, aren't you awake? No. Morning can come, but you may not wake up to see it. But thanks be unto God, he awakens me to the new day. How do you know? Because he gives me confidence and courage to face the day. Come here, writer. Tell me what you're saying. The songwriter said, listen, when I rose this morning, I didn't have no doubt. Look at your name and said, it's called blessed assurance. When I got up this morning, I didn't get up whining and complaining. I didn't get up worrying about bills that had to be paid. I didn't get up worrying about this thing and that thing. When I rose this morning, I didn't have no doubt. But watch what he said, Dr. Dixon. Why did he not have doubt? Did he not have doubt because he had a good job? No. Did he not have doubt because he had a whole lot of friends? No. Did he not have doubt because his 401k was looking right fat? No. Did he not have doubt because he was the pastor, the deacon, the elder, the overseer, the bishop? No. What took away his doubt was this mere fact that the Lord wouldn't let him down. He said, because I knew the Lord would bring me out. Look at your name and say, I'm coming out. I'm coming out of this depression. I'm coming out of this heartache. I'm coming out of this unemployment. I'm coming out of this setback. I'm coming out of this funk. Because I don't have no doubt
that the Lord will bring me out. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He didn't wake me up to lay me back down to death. He didn't wake me up that I might be depressed. He didn't wake me up that I might quit. He woke me up because he was going to bring me out. Slapped your neighbor high five and said, I knew it. But not only did he bring me out, he said, listen, I got confidence that the Lord's going to bring me out. He said, but I do know this, that if I keep courage and confidence, I will become a conqueror. Y'all caught that three C's right there. If I keep my courage and confidence, I will become a conqueror. Look at another name and said, I'm going undefeated. I'm tired of losing to life. I'm tired of sitting there like little Sally Walker, crying to the east, selling, crying to the west. I'm tired of everybody else dancing and I'm sitting here with my feet stuck to the floor. I'm tired of sitting around here with no spirit of God, no waving of my hand, no shaking of my head. It's time for me to be a conqueror. It's time for me to put my spear in my hand and my sword in the other. It's time to gird up my loins. It's time to put on my helmet and my breastplate. It's time for me to go off into war. It's time for me to get a victory, because each victory will help me some other to win. Look at another name and say, neighbor, I know you're tired of me, but you got to start somewhere, because each victory will help you. You can't win the second one till you win the first one. You can't win the 10th one till you win the 9th one. You got to discover your courage. You got to be like that cowardly lion. You got to get what you need and get it from the Lord. And you got to understand that courage comes to them who are courageous. You got to trust that when God woke you up this morning, he woke you up with confidence and courage. And you got to learn how to fight the good fight. Come here, Paul. I got to get ready to go. Paul says, Timothy, you got to learn how to endure hardness like a good soldier. You got to quit sitting around here squirming at every little thing. You got to quit sitting around here just having pity parties all the time. You got to endure your hardness like a good soldier. Nudge another neighbor and tell them, you're better than that. You're bigger than what you used to have. You're bigger than where you came from. You're bigger than people who hung around you. You have a God that says you are more than capable to win this fight. Say amen, somebody. He reminds us, he said, listen, he meets me every morning and awakens me to the new day. But Deacon Davis, this one I thought about just for you. He feeds me on his word. Yeah, he feeds me on the word. Good. The writer declared me that his word is like the honey in the honeycomb. It's just so sweet to me. He said every day God's going to feed me with his word and gives me hope and holiness. He gives me hope so that I might run on and see, and holiness that I might meet him in the eternal. I feel my help coming along through here now, because the writer said, Lord, whatever you do, don't take away my hope. Your hope is my regulation. If I can just get some hope. Somebody in here knows exactly what I'm talking about. You may not have had the job, but you had hope. You may not have got the x-ray back, but you had hope. You may not have come out of that thing yet, but you had hope. You may not have a friend, but you had hope. And as long as I got hope, I think I'm going to be all right. Tell somebody in your proximity, because you've used up all of your business with your neighbor, find somebody new around you and tell them, listen, as long as I've got hope, as long as I've got hope, as long as I've got hope, I'm going to be fed on the word of God, because the word of God said be encouraged. He tells me to rise up and fight, because as long as I got hope, I can feel my help coming now. As long as I've got hope, I know God is listening to me. He hears my every cry, and when God gives me hope, I can stand up again. When God gives me hope, I can sing my song again. When God gives me hope, I can get back on the mission. When God gives me hope, I can find my way in the dark. When God gives me hope, though the flood waters come, I shall not be overwhelmed, because the God I
I serve is my hope. He's my help. He's my holiness. And I thank God today that I've discovered in my life that of all my setbacks and all my situations, my final report is that the Lord won't let me down. I've come to tell somebody that whatever you're going through, hold on just a little while longer. Whatever the situation is, don't worry about how many folk leave you. Don't worry about how many folk don't call you. Don't worry about who don't come to your sick room. Just trust in this, that the word declares that the Lord won't let you down. Can I find one witness that can help me go to my seat by waving back at me and telling me, Pastor, I tried him for myself. I found out that God won't let me down. I don't look like what I've been through, but the God I serve has never let me down. I don't find myself sitting over in a corner anymore, because I can't wait to get down to the house of praise, because praise helped me get through. When other folk were having a pity party, I was having a praise party, because I heard the Lord say, if I be lifted up, somebody ought to help me lift him up. If I be lifted up, I'll draw. He drew me out of my depression. He drew me out of my disappointment. He drew me out of my heartache. He drew me out of that divorce. He drew me out. Anybody been drawn out? Won't God draw you out? The Bible says, let us go into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. I don't know how you feel about it, but I trust the Lord. I trust in the Lord that no matter my circumstance, no matter my pain, no matter my problem, I trust the Lord. Is there anybody here that trusts my Jesus? Is there anybody here that knows that God will? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I gotta leave you now. I bothered you all morning long, but I just was trying to tell you, I was trying to minister to you so that you wouldn't give up, so that you'll come back to church next Sunday, so you'll go back to work tomorrow, you'll face your friends and face your foes, so you can gird up your loins, get your joy back. I know you're down right now, but neighbor, I just wanted to tell you that the Lord Jesus, Mary little baby, the Rose of Sharon, the Lord, my God, won't let you down. He will. I said he will. He'll come through. Anybody know that the Lord will come through? Is there anybody here that's tried my Jesus? Is there anybody here that held on to God's unchanging hand? Won't he do it? Can he do it? Didn't he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. He blessed me. He delivered me. He lifted me. He restored me. God, 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 God didn't let me down. I said he didn't let me down. He didn't let me down. He did it. He did it. He did it. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah. He won't let me down. They stretched him wide, pierced him in his side, buried him in a tomb. But early, early that Sunday morning, he got up, not for himself. He got up, not being selfish. He got up because he did not want to let us down. He knew that if he got up, we could get up. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he got up. So get up, rise, shine, and give God the glory. He won't let you down.
He'll meet you every morning, awaken you to the new day, feed you on his word. And then lastly, he promises us joy in his presence. He said, I have gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you'll be there. That's why the writer declares, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright and shining, singing our praises. They used to sing in my old church back home that they wanted to be at the meeting when all the saints gather at home. Anybody want to be there? Can I tell you why your reservations have been confirmed? Because he won't let you down. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. Can you find somebody you ain't bothered yet already and tell them, listen, been there, done that. Might have to go back again. But through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust his word. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I wasn't born on the other side of the tracks. But all of my days, I said all of my days. Can I say it again? I said all of my days. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why? Because he won't let me down. I've had some good days. I've had some bad days. I've had my share of hills to climb. But the summary of my testimony is I won't complain, because he never let me down. God has made a way out of no way. Jacob declared, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Sometimes you have been in the worst situation of your life up until that present time, and you can't find your way. But I will tell you now, as Paul told the church, you just got to press on. You've come too far to turn around now. God loves you too much to leave you in a pickle, in a fix, in a mess, quandary, quagmire. God won't leave you. He's going to meet you in the morning. He's going to awaken you to the new day. He's going to feed you on his word. Some writer said, that word I've hidden in my heart, keep me from messing up. And when I get there, I'm not going to waste a lot of time. I'm not going to hold up the line. I just want to be able to tell him thank you. And anybody else want to just tell him thank you? I know some of y'all going to be up there trying to talk about a little of everything, but can you keep it moving? There's a lot of us in line. Just tell him thank you. And don't waste a whole lot of time thanking him for material things. The chief order of business is, Lord, I thank you because you never let me down. And he won't do it. He won't let you down. Can we stand together? I know time is well spent. You're ready to go. I really want you to know today, it was my intention just to encourage you. People change on you. They can't help it. I had a cousin, Dr. Dixon. That was his default answer. Whenever he got in trouble, whenever something happened, he just said, "I can't help it." Yeah. No matter what he did, that boy, whatever he did, when he's standing there with the noose around his neck, the hangman about to pull the thing, and they gonna ask him, any last words? That buckethead gonna look at us and go, "I can't help it." He said, and my grandmother, my aunts, and all of the family said, "Is that all you ever?" I can't help it. He's in the South. He said, "Help it." He's a year younger than I am. He's still saying, "Help it." I said, "Why you do that? I can't help it." Some of y'all got the can't help it. Don't look at nobody right now. No, Eric, don't. I said, don't look at nobody. Because they're trying to figure out if you know what can't help it they got. Everybody got a can't help it. Some of y'all got a lot of them. But no matter what it is, the Lord won't let you down. I want you to know he's going to meet you in the morning. And that's why the writer says that joy was coming. The real joy is in the fact that he's going to meet me in the morning. And when he awakens us to the new day, because a new day is just that, the Lord says, do them one at a time. Some of y'all, the problem is y'all trying to do a multiplicity of days. It's Sunday. It's not Sunday, Monday. It's Sunday. Just do Sunday. Midnight coming, no matter what you do, then do Monday. Thank God for a good Sunday, then start doing a little Monday. Don't be trying to do Monday, Tuesday. It ain't called Monday, Tuesday. It's called Monday, then Tuesday. Just do them one at a time. And when he awakens you to the new day, say, this is the day. It ain't these are the days, the Lord. It said, this is the day that the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. Make your Monday marvelous. Make your Tuesday something that rhyme with that, and your Wednesday something that go with that. And I couldn't think of them that quick. I'm fried out now. I'm tired. But make your Tuesday triumphant. There we go. Make your Wednesday wow. Make your Thursday titillating. And make your Friday fabulous. Make your Saturday sensational. And make your Sunday with me. Make your Sunday with me. It's called Sunday Meeting. Sunday Meeting Mitchell. That's what you. But God is good. If you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ, you're not going to know what we know, that the Lord ain't going to let you down. So if you want to know, like we know, that the Lord won't let you down, give your life to Christ. He's a keeper. The only reason us is still here is because he's a keeper. It ain't because we eat good and exercise, you know. It's just because he's a keeper. Amen. Keeping. So we invite you to give your life to Christ today. Young man, a young woman. Amen. God bless you. Sister Linda, God bless you. To God be the glory. Would you come and stand with us today as we pray? As we come together. Again, the Lord won't let you down. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're going to have to go through. There's a song that they sing that says, if it ain't one thing, it's another. It's always something. But there's always the Lord. God is, and you can fill in your blank. God will, and you can fill in your blank. God did it. That's something that I'm just so proud to be able to say, proud to be able to witness that God did it. Sometimes I didn't even know what to ask him to do, but he did it. Sometimes I didn't even know how to ask him to do. When the mountains were real high, the valleys were real low, and when I was feeling kind of sort of like David, that nobody cared nothing about me, I didn't even know what to say. I didn't even know how to get the Lord started. And before I knew it, he was rolling back a new day. Before I knew it, them things that I used to deal with, I wasn't even thinking about them anymore because he did it. Can I tell you how to limit your frustration and build your faith in your prayers? Stop trying to tell God how to do it. Just let him know that you need a little something done. See, sometimes you try to tell God to come up Florida Avenue, turn on Winston Ridge, go down to the bottom of the tracks, turn right. God might want to ride on 460. And say, Lord, you come up Florida Avenue and turn left on Winston Ridge, come down to the bottom of the hill and make a left, and then go around in the circle, meet me at the fountain. I know it's you. God may want to go as the crow flies. He might want to skip all that. And then because you don't see him coming up Winston Ridge and down at the bottom of the hill, that ain't the Lord. Lord, just do it. Lord, anywhere you show up, however you get here, just get here. Now, God had no problem with you being specific in your desires. You know, I tell you, I stopped being an advocate of any way you bless me, Lord, because I got some specifics I want to talk to God about. And he says, I can do that. Because see, when you say any way you bless me, Lord, some of y'all done messed that blessing up. Because when he blessed you, you didn't see it like that. You said, this ain't what I wanted. Well, you listen, be specific. Great faith allows specificity. With Mrs. Scott, I know she's impressed with that one. When you got great faith, you can tell God details. And he'll say, all right, I got you. I heard what you said. When these little kids get ready for Christmas here coming up, they're going to be specific. They ask for an Xbox and you bring a PlayStation, they're going to look at you and say, Daddy, can't you read? We don't want no PlayStation. We want to, you know, they're very specific. And you can be with God. He said, I don't have no problem with that. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So if you can be specific, don't you think God can be specific? He's smarter than you, I bet you that. Amen. Too many of us walking around here with nothingness and then complaining about things that you weren't specific. No, Sister Scott, I keep putting that S so they don't think it's an ocean. You got to be specific because your God is detailed. He's very detailed. He made Sunday, Sunday, Monday, Monday, Tuesday, Tuesday. He put the stars in their place, the moon. He didn't just throw everything up there and go, wherever y'all want to go, y'all go ahead. No. He made water wet, dirt, dirt, grass green, sky blue. God is detailed. But in all of these things, please know that the Lord won't let you down. You're going to have to be patient. Here's the trade-off. Why would you be impatient with God who's being quite patient with you? A whole lot of us going to have to ask for an extension. We should have been there by now. God's been patient. You know, real patient. Some of y'all, I'm looking at you, trying not to look at you. But I'm looking at you knowing that you have really tried the Lord's patience. But thank you, Lord. You may have to stay over today. No, you're all right. I love him. He's a good guy. I'm so glad to see him back in the house of the Lord. That's my friend. I need some brothers around me. I got a special assignment for him. Yeah, I'm going to get him. He'll be all right, though. Y'all pray for Eric. Amen. Y'all put Eric in y'all prayers because the pastor is going to tax him good. He's a good man, my brother. Good grip there. Amen. He won't be here for two Sundays. He's going to hide. The hand you're holding is precious. That life is precious. If I gave them the microphone and they told you all of their story, you'd be amazed. Because in fact, somebody said it and it became a cliche in the church, but it is an absolute truth, that the truth about us is we rarely look like what we've been through. We have camouflaged ourselves well. If only you knew. Some of you are standing here going through stuff and folk have no idea. You're standing in courage and you're smiling and on the inside you got stuff going on and folk don't have no clue. But the reason you can do that is because the Lord didn't let you down. He gave you what you need to get back out there one more time. And you know, that's been my statement to God in the last 10 years. Lord, if you just let me get back out there one more time, if you just give me one more chance, I'll do a little better next time than I did last time. I ain't lying to him. I don't tell him that I'm going to get it right. I just say I'm going to do a little better than I did last time. Because sometimes getting it right is not really what the results require. Because see, getting it right for me may not make it right for you. And so we have to be very careful, but we just want to be able to do better the next time. Because see, getting it right for me would mean we got 1,500 members and we're doing all kind of great things in the body of Christ. And see, that ain't y'all getting it right yet. So ain't no need of us being unequally yoked. So I said, Lord, just let us do a little better than the last time. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I said members, I meant disciples. Holy Ghost is good like that. He said, you can't say what you don't mean and mean what you say. I don't want 1,500 members. That'd be a headache, Eric. I want 1,500 disciples. Disciples are easier to manage. Members is crazy people. Don't look at nobody. Hold your peace. But I pray, God, today that you will remember. He'll meet you every morning. He'll awaken you to a new day. He'll feed you on his word. And you'll have joy in his presence. And this joy is not just when you die joy. This is everyday joy. Because every day we're in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So, again, these lives are precious. All around you, from here, all the way back around to there. Oh, all the way over to here. How precious. How good and pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity. That's unity. Sometimes when folk hold your hand, they hold your hand because they just happen to be standing by you. They didn't pick you. You didn't pick them. But the Bible says if we can as touching and agree, God's going to do something. So if you want God to do something for the hand you're holding, just squeeze it a little bit and tell him, I don't mind blessing you today. I don't. Father, in the name of Jesus, they're standing all around. Sister Linda came today that she might make a decision, and she has made her decision clear. She desires to know more about you, more about your church. She wants to be that disciple. And so God, we pray that you will meet her specific request, that she would know more about the local church, she would learn more about you, and that she would be discipled where disciples are being made. So God, grant for her request. And when you answer her prayer, you're answering the prayers of so many in this fellowship. For we desire to grow to your glory. We desire to be a light, a place of refuge, place of resource, and a place, Lord, of relationship. We're holding hands today and pray, God, that you will meet us both individually and collectively in the place that we cannot afford to be let down. For some, Lord, it is in business. For some, it is in education, finance, relationship. Some have health concerns. Lord, we don't want cancer to beat another disciple. We don't want another disciple to go hungry. We don't want another disciple to not have a job. We don't want another disciple to be in a broken relationship. We don't want another disciple to be out of fellowship. So these are areas, Lord, where we cannot afford to be let down. And because you are that very present, very providential, very protective, and very proud, God, you won't let us down. For my neighbor's children, my neighbor's spouse, my neighbor's secret and undisclosed concern, don't let us down. The joy that we have is not fabricated, nor is it fleeting. It is built on our faith. We will turn from this place refreshed, and we will remember, and we will rejoice, and we will remain. Now, God, keep us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you on a personal note for those who thought it not robbery to bless the man of God on his birthday. I feel like my grandmother when she used to say, Lord, the older I get, the older I am. It was that simple. And I thank you, God. 55 is a good number now. Going after another one. That your name be glorified. Keep us together that we not be torn apart.